Stop a minute sometimes when we're singing and think about what we're singing. Anyone got a song this morning? No? Open your Bibles then. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Do you ever wonder what it was like back in the Old Testament times under law when they would get together and they would have to bring sacrifices? They would kill sacrifices and they would take lambs and rams and so forth. And you read when Solomon dedicated the temple, how many oxen and all those things he killed and offered up to God. And boy, Peta or whatever it's called, they'd have a field day with that, wouldn't they? And do you ever wonder about why we no longer kill animals and offer their blood up? Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, inspired by God, given to us to give us a better understanding of the sacrifice of Christ and how that his sacrifice blended in with the Old Testament and the animal sacrifices that was made. Now, I want you to listen up just a few moments, and I hope to be able to bring these out clear enough. Sometimes you have people that has issues about the security of their salvation. I believe this, and I'm confident that the Scripture teaches this. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, I also believe the Bible teaches that there will be some that will believe that they're saved that are not saved. There'll be some that you will think are saved that are not saved. There'll be some that you will think that are not saved that are saved. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the book of Peter, you'd have a hard time convincing me that Lot was saved. But you see, salvation is something above our pay grade. It's something that between you and God and your heart. This morning, I want you to listen up very carefully, because sometimes what we do is we emphasize me too much in the equation of salvation. And salvation is all about Him.
Amen.
The only thing we can do to get salvation is believe and have faith in Him. We like to think of ourselves as something, doing something, and being something special to God. But you have to remember this, and I want you to get this in your mind as we go through this, because it will play out. In the beginning of creation, when the first sin came, everything upon the earth was cursed. We are still living under the curse. The moment that Adam and Eve sinned, they become spiritually dead. And each of us that are born from Adam and Eve, which means everybody, by one man, sin has entered into the world and been passed on to every one of us. We are all sinners.
Amen.
We are born sinners. We are practicing sinners. We are under the curse of sin. Not only are we under the curse of sin, the earth is under the curse of sin. The thorns and thistles and all the things. Some of you was talking about some things going on, the cold and all those things. The earth is under the curse. The creation of God in animals are under the curse. The fact that animals fight, the fact that lions eat a deer or whatever they may kill and eat is all because of the curse of sin. Now remember that, and I'm going to look at a couple things, and we're going to talk about this morning that I hope will give you a clear picture of salvation. Look, if you would, in chapter 10 and begin reading with me, and let me highlight a few words or phrases as we go. Verse number 1, chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, what's the two words? Can never, so remember those two words, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Otherwise, it was not the sacrifices in the Old Testament that made those people who offered the sacrifices perfect in God's eyes. Look in verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, that would be the year of Day of Atonement. Every year there would be a day when only the high priest, he had to cleanse himself. There was a process, he had to purify himself. Then he would have to kill some animals, take some blood, go into the Holy of Holies, and apply that blood upon the mercy seat. Now, that was done on Day of Atonement. And, of course, only he was allowed back in the Holy of Holies. They would tie a rope around his ankle. If he went back there and he had not processed through the process, confessed his sins and got forgiveness before he went back there, and had them under the blood, then he would be struck dead the moment he come in God's presence. Now, and so every year, one day a year, the Day of Atonement, in the Hebrew it was kofar. It means to cover. And so he would take and he would cover Israel's sins with the blood. Now follow on, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Now we'll talk about that in a moment. It would cover sins, but it wouldn't take them away. Now follow with me a minute. Wherefore, when he, that's Jesus, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had what? No pleasure. In other words, the Bible says God had no pleasure in the things that he saw in the Old Testament times of the sheep and goats and rams and all the things that was killed, and turtle doves, all the things that was killed. Now look on in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. This is Jesus speaking. And above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein. In other words, again, he reminds us that God had no pleasure in those things which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. In verse number 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now remember that little word sanctified. We'll come back to that. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. Again, reminds us that not only the sacrifices can't take away sins, the priests can't take away sins. It would do the Catholic religion good to figure that out. Amen. There's no man capable of taking away sins. Amen. Now go on. Follow with me in verse number 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made his footstools. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Again, we see the word sanctified. And forever he's perfected that. In other words, the reason why he sat down, there's no more work to be done. There's no more work that can be done. Look on in verse number 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And look in verse 17. I like this verse. And their sins and iniquities will I remember what? No more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. In other words, where there is no where forgiveness of those have been made, there is no more offering for sin. Now, chapter 10 adds a lot of confusion to people because in the latter parts down here, and I'm not going to get into the latter parts today, I've taught on it several times. But I want to look and I want to show you why when they would go and offer those sacrifices, God had no pleasure in those things. Now, somebody said, well, how is it? Because God was the one that ordained the way in which they would do it. He commanded them that they would take the lambs and the rams. As a matter of fact, the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, the thing that God did was kill an innocent animal and took the blood and covered their sins. But the Bible says that when these sacrifices were made, God had no pleasure in them. In other words, they were incapable of satisfying God. Why were they incapable of satisfying God? I mean, did he not give us the law? Did he not tell Israel what to do through Moses? And he wrote the law? Was not all that commanded by God? Yes, it was. Keep your finger here a moment, and if you would, and turn with me to Galatians chapter number 3. In Galatians chapter number 3, the Bible tells us a couple things about the law. Now notice here in chapter 3 that the Bible says in verse number 19. The Bible says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of what? Transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The seed was the seed of the woman. It was Jesus. And said it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have been have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, notice those two words, faith and believe. Look, if you would, in verse 24. The Bible says, wherefore the law was there what? To bring us unto where? That we might be justified by what? Faith. Now you've got to remember that until the seed was to come, they did this every day. They did this every year. The sacrifices was made. But the Bible says God had no pleasure in them. Now why? The law was given, and the Bible says if there was a law possible, or if it was possible that you believe and could abide by the law, then therefore Jesus wouldn't have to come. All you have to do is keep the law. But the problem is, there's not a one of you that could ever abide by the law and keep the law. Every one of us breaks the law. Every one of us sins. Several of them would come to Jesus, and they say, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And he'd talk about the law. They said, all the rich young ruler said, all those things I've done from my youth up. Well, he said, go sell what thou hast and give it to poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven. He went away sad. Why? He couldn't keep all the law. He was coveted, and he coveted what he had. And so therefore, I want you to understand, there is not one of us, if there was a law, and if the law could make any of us righteous before God, Jesus would not have had to come. That's why the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so what we do is we offend God when we think we're good enough by our own actions, or we weigh ourselves against somebody else, say, I'm just as good as that guy is or that girl is. When we do that, we offend God because there's none of us that are good enough. None of us can keep the law. The law was only to bring us to Christ. Now stay with me a moment, and I want you to see. Now look, if you would, back in your Bibles. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible says that the image of these things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It just cannot happen. Why? Because they were insufficient. Why were they insufficient? Now you got to get this a minute. And boy, I tell you what, this liberal thinking of God is going to send a lot of people to hell. Right. This liberal preaching of God is going to do it. Yes.
God's not a man up, the man upstairs. He's not someone that bows to us. He's not one that feels privileged when we come to him just because it's us. We got to understand he's God. He's a holy, just God. If it was not for the sacrifice that we read about here and the sacrifices, we could not come in the presence of God. We would die. Our sins would separate us from God. There's no way we can come to them. And so therefore, we could not have any fellowship with God. We could not go be with God. There would not be a way that we could do that without the fact of what God did through Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us here that these sacrifices that was being offered was a shadow of what was going to come. In other words, they pointed to the fact that Jesus was going to come. And Jesus was going to do something that these were just a picture of or a shadow of. Well, if that's the case, and by the way, let me say this. God is a holy God. His demands are holy. And one of the saddest days is going to be for some when they wake up and find out that God wasn't who they thought he was. These people that mocks God, laughs at God, makes fun of God, make light of God, and even these people who behind the pulpit brings God down to the level of man. In other words, thinking that he's like a wicked man. They're going to have a sad awakening one day when they stand before a holy, just God. And they find out what hell's all about and they find out what sin is about. Somebody said, well, my little white sins. Listen, all sins sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary. All of them prohibits us from coming. Now, why did God not have any pleasure in them? The reason why is because what he had to do was they had to offer things that was under the curse of sin. None of the things they offered could take away sins. It was just a temporary covering of sin until Jesus was to come. It pointed to him. The blood would cover their sins, but the way that they would get their sins covered with the blood was the faith that they had in obeying what God had said. It was a faith in the sacrifice that God had said. And so their faith is what pleased God. The Bible tells us even in the book of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to do what? The only reason sacrifice is meant, otherwise, somebody says, well, preacher, I'm not a bad person, therefore I'm going to offer myself up. All you're doing is offering the same thing that Cain did. And the Bible says God had no pleasure in Cain. He had no respect for Cain's offering. You know why? He offered himself and his own actions, his own ability, the works of his own hands. And God said, you can't satisfy me with that. You got to do like your brother. You got to satisfy me with blood. Because that blood points to he who is coming. And everything here is under the curse of sin. Therefore, there is nothing that I can have pleasure in here because they are under sin. Now, I'll tell you this. Not everybody that offered the sacrifices. Now, listen to me, all you, some of you young ones that's had trouble with your salvation. I want to listen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know if I understood everything completely. Can I tell you this? When they would offer these lambs, rams, and turtle doves and do the things that God did and offer the blood sacrifice, did you know they didn't understand all the theology of what they were doing either? There's a whole lot they didn't understand about Jesus and what he was going to do. It wasn't their understanding of theology that saved them. It was their faith. And the faith in what God told him to do. And the fact is, anything less than the blood, the innocent blood that pointed to the innocent blood of Jesus, anything less than that was offensive to God, and he wouldn't accept it. That's why he didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. And so therefore, it was a faith that they had. Now look back in your Bibles a moment and notice that the Bible says that he had in verse 6, he had no pleasure. Now, and the Bible says that the animal blood, in verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should what? take away. It just covered it temporarily. To cover it, all it did was it temporarily kept the wrath of God off those people until Jesus was to come. And so day after day, year after year, they'd have to offer that up as a sacrifice. Now, they would also have to go, because they would have to go and they would have to find, the Bible would require them to take a lamb without what? Blemish. Without blemish. Does it mean it was a perfect lamb? There is no perfect lambs. But in earthly ways, they couldn't see of imperfection upon that lamb. But see, that lamb was still under the curse of sin. That's why God had no pleasure in those sacrifices, because even the animals are under the curse of sin. And to man, he could look and say, well, they couldn't see a spot and they couldn't do this, but they were not perfect. But they were only perfect on the earthly standards, on what you could see on the outside. And so what they would do is they'd take those lambs and they would offer them up. And they would do it, and being without blemish, pointed to one that would come that would truly be one without blemish. He would have no imperfections at all. Now, if you look close enough at those sheep, you would find imperfections, but there were certain things about those sheep that couldn't be there, or they couldn't offer them up, because they were a type and shadow of Jesus to come. But what I want you to understand is those sheep were under the curse of sin. So anything that they did, and that's why God didn't have any pleasure in them, because they couldn't fit his requirement to take away sins. Now look, and the Bible says he had no pleasure. But then the Bible also tells us when Jesus came, born of a woman, he was incarnated, she was impregnated, a virgin by the Holy Ghost, that when he come, that whenever he went and began his ministry and he was baptized, anybody remember what happened when he come up out of the water? What happened? Holy Spirit descended down upon him, and what else happened? And what else happened? And God the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, he finally found something that he was pleased in, he had pleasure in. He didn't have pleasure in the sacrifices of old. They were all sin-tainted. But he had pleasure when the one sacrifice came. That's why when John saw him coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He had pleasure in that lamb, because that lamb was without blemish. It was without spot. It was a perfect sacrifice to please God. And once again on Mount Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I well please. Hear you him. In other words, he told you, he said, listen, this is the one I'm pleased in. This is the one that's going to bring pleasure to me, because only he can do what needs to be done. Now look on a minute. Now notice this, because of that, when he came as the Son of God and he was manifested, he came, and the Bible says that if you look back in verse number 9, he says, when he come, he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. The first was the covenant, the Old Testament covenant. And it was through the lambs and sacrifices and priests and all those things. Now notice in verse number 10 that he may establish a second. That was a second that he would come. It explains it on thirdly a little bit farther down in verses 19 through 25. I'm not going to get into that today. But I want you to notice here that the Bible says in verse 10, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified means that we have been set apart and made holy. Now think about this. Through his sacrifice, we have had, now look at verse 10, that through which to sanctify through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can what? Never take away sins. But look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Now what you need to understand about Jesus is, now listen to me, stay with me a minute. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. God doesn't save you because you are better than him. He saves you because of him. Your faith is in him. And anytime your faith gets outside of him, then your faith is in the wrong thing. What you need to understand is you'll go to heaven because of him. Everything that you have a relationship is because of him. Amen. You are reconciled to God because of him. He built the bridge that you can go back and you can be reconciled. The word reconciled means to be made friends again. Colossians says you were enemies of God. You were alienated from God. There's no way you could come to God, a sinner and a holy God, but Jesus made it possible. He brought the span. He built the bridge. He allowed you to be reconciled. Now get this a moment, because you need to understand. And what he did is, when you had faith in what God said about that sacrifice, it didn't cover your sins until next time. The moment that you had faith in that sacrifice, once and forever, your sins he will remember no more. Is that not marvelous? Now think about that a moment. And what you need to understand, now look back a moment, and notice just a moment, if you would, that the Bible says that we are set apart. We're sanctified. We're made holy because of our faith in Jesus. Now notice this just a moment, if you would, in verse number 14. For by one offering he hath what? Perfected forever who? Them that are sanctified. We are sanctified by faith, just like they were sanctified by faith. We are sanctified by faith, but we are forever sanctified. Look in verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them. No more do we look around for this carved in stone. When we are sanctified, God writes them right here. The law of God, if you read Romans chapter number 2, that's why the Bible says all men are without excuse, because God has written in their hearts the law of God. Even their conscience makes you aware of those things. But when we are sanctified, God writes his laws in our hearts. And so therefore, we have the law of God in our hearts. Look on just a moment. And then he says in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. In other words, what Jesus did, nothing can be added. Now listen to me, just a moment. And he goes on, he makes this argument later on in this same book, chapter. If you were able to lose your salvation, Jesus would have to go back to the cross. And he's not going back to the cross. He offered it one time. And he perfected everyone who will believe. You say, well, preacher, I feel like there's something else I need to do. He did it. Only thing God wants from you pertains to salvation is faith. Nothing else you can offer God but believe on the finished work of what Jesus did. Amen. Just like they take and they kill those lambs and so forth, they'd offer that blood up. And God said, yeah, I covered it, but I had no pleasure in it. Because that wasn't where my pleasure was going to be. It just pointed to where my pleasure would be. My pleasure was when my son came. And when my son came, he made a way that when you come to him by faith, you say, oh, preacher, there's got to be more to it than that. Thank God that God made a way that whosoever will, let him come. You can come to God. I don't care who you are, where you are. You can come to God by just believing. Simple faith and belief in your heart. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, you've got to be able to come to him and believe in that finished work. The problem is we spend too much time propping me up and you up. Listen, we don't need to prop us up. There's nothing about us to prop up. We are what we are by the grace of God. We only have one to thank. That's Jesus. He came and he did it. And when he did it once and for all. And by the way, he was the only one that he was a priest and he's also the sacrifice. Therefore, we need no other priest. He is the only priest we need. All these other priests are phonies. They're just phonies. They have nothing to offer you. There's only one high priest, and that's Jesus. He's a mediator between man and God. There's no other way you can come to God but through him. And so don't believe because someone's got their collar turned around backwards and because they wear a couple beads around their neck. Don't buy into that there's some type of holier than thou. Listen, the Pope needs to be saved just like you do. And if he don't come by Jesus, believing that he's a sinner, and come confessing his sins, he'll die and go to hell just like anybody else. Even though he, by his name, they claim he's a vicar or substitute for Jesus. There is no substitute for Jesus. Jesus was once, and when he got through doing what he did here upon this earth, he died upon the cross of Calvary, and he went and he sat down at the right hand of the Father because he was done it all. It was finished. Nothing else could ever be added to it. Nothing else would ever be taken up. If you get saved, it'll be by the gospel, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing else will save you. Amen. Now let me say this, and I'll close. The sacrifices was ugly. But that day, Jesus, they would take and they would put their hands upon that wooden cross. They would find their wrist, the indention. They take that square, long nail, and they beat that nail through their wrist into that wood deep. They would do the other wrist, and they would beat it, and they would leave some flexibility where they could pull themselves up, and they could have some movement on the cross. They would take their feet, they'd lay them side by side down, and they'd take one of those square nails, and they would drive it right through the arch of their foot. Again, they leave their knees bent with a little flex where they could push up. And they would sit there and they would hang upon the cross of Calvary, or upon the cross. And as Jesus, the sacrifice of the whole world, the Son of God hanging upon that cross, he sat, and as he suffered, the word suffered that you use, Brother Junior, he suffered and he bled and he died. Amen. He suffered for the sins of the world. He was the ultimate sacrifice. When you study about what they did upon the cross of Calvary, they would pull themselves up. And when they would pull, the pain would go up and it'd go through their fingers. And it'd be a horrible pain through their hand and fingers as they would try to pull themselves up to be able to breathe. And it would shoot up to their brain and it would be such intense pain. Then they get where their arms would get so weak, they sag down, they'd have to push with their legs until their body began to cramp. And they'd cramp in such a way, they'd be in such severe pain, and they finally get where they couldn't push themselves up, and then they couldn't breathe. They could breathe air in, but they couldn't get air out. Any of you ever had an asthma attack? You understand what it's like. You can get air in, but you can't get out. And they would sit and it would begin to soon, it would get where the carbon dioxide would build up in their bodies and soon fluid began to release around their heart and even their heart would get where it's hard to pump. And they would sit and they would begin to smother in such pain. And we see the Son of God hanging upon the cross for our sins, a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, the one that was pure without blemish. And then the Bible says that they stuck a spear in his side. Blood and water rushed out. After he gave up the ghost, he commended his spirit to the Father. And we look and we think what a horrible death that sacrifice was. But then when we look on the other side, the thing that we can't see, that would have been bad enough. But then God took the sins of the whole world. Past, present, future. And he faced the wrath of God for us. He died that we wouldn't have to. When we believe, we died with him that day. When we believe, we was buried with him that day. When we believe, we were resurrected with him today. That's why, because he lives, we live. And the Bible says we'll never die. You say, preacher, we lose loved ones all the time. The Bible says they just fall asleep. They're not dead, they just fall asleep. Their soul sleeps. I mean, their body sleeps while their soul is present with the Lord. Such a wonderful salvation. But it's all because of him. Somebody said, preacher, I think we ought to go back to sacrificing those Old Testament sacrifices. Some people are. But they don't understand the truth of this. God didn't have any pleasure in them because they were sin-tainted too. It was just a covering. Their faith just covered it until the one could come that could not only cover your sin, but take it away and never be remembered no more. Amen. Let's stand this morning.